Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to New Matter, the SLAS podcast where we interview life science luminaries. Today, we are continuing our series of podcasts highlighting career trajectories. Today, we are joined by Mei Wu, Senior Manager of New Product Development at 10x Genomics. Welcome, Mei.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So, Mei, before we dive into discussing your life and your career, we want to start you off with the SLAS challenge of describing your work in 10 words or less.
Gosh, I would say leading teams, developing products, and herding cats.
Very, very good. So since we're talking about career trajectories today, I want to start off talking about where all good careers begin, which is by asking you, when you were a kid, what did you want to do when you grew up?
I was very sure that I was going to become a fashion designer.
Really?
Yes.
How come?
I was because I was born in China a long time ago. So it was still a time where there wasn't very much fashion available to people. And I just felt like people who are not your, you know, ideal figure, you know, physique deserve to look fabulous as well. And then I was going to be the fashion designer that made beautiful clothes and fashions for everyday average people. That was my dream.
That's awesome. So I mean, I don't want to phrase it as like a what happened sort of thing, but like what made you change your mind about that?
We moved to the U.S. And so we came to the U.S. when I was 11 years old, and it's been about 35 years now. And so at the time when we moved here, it was growing up here, it felt like we were very limited in, you know, career choices. That's what I was told. You know, that's what we were told by the Asian American community. That my choices were doctor or engineer, like not even lawyer. Like that was your choice. I'm like, well, I guess there goes that fashion designer idea. So that's what happened.
Do you ever regret not going into fashion?
It's a little late. So I just buy cute stuff now. So I may do.
Get that passion for fashion out in other ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you did go to college, I guess, you know, you said your choice was doctor or engineer. So how did you choose your major then?
Well, I had aspired to be a surgeon, like a neurosurgeon. So I was really curious about the brain. So if you remember back long enough, that the 90s was supposed to be the decade of the brain. And so that was kind of like, biologically, that's the final frontier of the unknown. That's kind of like the, you know, what defines us as humans and what defines our consciousness. And I wanted to kind of, you know, be a scientist in that area and like learn something about, you know, the basis of human nature. So, you know, I'm like, well, if I have to be a doctor, I'll be like the fanciest one, right? So that's kind of like what ended up happening is, you know, went into that.
Nice. So how did your college experiences then influence your career path?
I went to Oberlin College, and it was a small liberal arts college, and I really felt like it was a very well-rounded education. I was able to, I chose Oberlin because at the time, it was one of the very few places, liberal arts colleges, that offered a neuroscience program. So what really, you know, determined what I did afterwards was that I took my major in neuroscience and I took neuropharmacology, and I really loved it. When I graduated, upon graduation, I decided, well, I'm going to apply to PhD programs that are either neuro programs that are pharmacology, you know, that has a pharmacology component, or a pharmacology program that is neurocentric. So, and that's what happened. And also, if you are not familiar with Oberlin College, like it has, you know, just extraordinarily high percentage of graduates going into getting PhDs. So it really prepares you for a lifetime of learning and research. But I have to say, at the time, I didn't feel like I was prepared to start like an adult life, like a job, like a working job. I didn't feel like I was prepared for that. So it was just like, oh, well, guess what? You know, I did good in school. Let's just apply for some PhD programs and then we'll see where we go. So, you know, it's free and they pay me to go. So it was a little bit rushed, I would say, but that's, you know, it worked out.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that feeling. I had the same experience when I finished undergrad. I was like, I'm not ready for a job. Let's keep the school thing going for as long as possible.
Right. Yeah.
So what sort of experiences? You said Oberlin really focused on getting people ready for graduate school. What sort of opportunities did they present you with? Did you, work in a research lab while you were there? Did you have a lot of internship opportunities?
I did. It was excellent. I mean, it's super expensive. I just paid all my student loans, but it was totally worth it. So I did get a Howard Hughes like undergraduate fellowship or summer internship, working and doing my own research, neuropharmacology research on campus with one of the faculty members. I was also given the opportunity. So they had this winter term. So the month of January is its own, like separate from the semesters. So you got to be creative for that month. So for my last winter term project, I actually signed up with an alum who was a practicing neurosurgeon. He would do this once a year. He would pick a Oberlin student for winter term and they would go and live with him at his house in Oregon, and Oberlin's in Ohio. So all the way across the country. And I got to shadow him on everything. When like he was, his everyday, his office visits, his surgeries, I got to like stand next to him when he was, performing neurosurgery. I guess it really changed the trajectory of my career early on. From that experience, I decided that's a really hard life. I don't think I want it. I think I'll go to grad school. What can I get? Where can I get into for neuropharmacology? Yeah, and there were other stuff. Like, I think I did, ethnic cooking for the first year. And then the second year, I did my own, piano recital, because Oberlin has a conservatory as well. And the conservatory is one of the top ones in the world. And so for that month, I'm like, okay, I'm too busy during the semester. So for this month, I'll just practice, 8 hours a day. And then I can do, a recital where I invite everybody and just have the recital hall, just like a conservatory student. So, yeah, It was good.
That's so cool. That's what a great opportunity to pursue all those other interests that you might not otherwise have time for. Was that winter semester in January, was that mandatory or was it optional?
It's mandatory. The lovely things that came out of it, you might know, is Ben and Jerry's. Those guys were like roommates and they're like, for winter term, like, let's miss ice cream flavors. And one of them, I guess the word is like his father was, pop big time, food, something. And then oh, good idea, son. Let's run with it. So we used to get Ben and Jerry's at our events, campus events, because that's a big success thing.
If that's not enough motivation to go to Oberlin, I don't know what is.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor of Ben and Jerry's?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. What is the one with the marshmallow in it? It's disturbing, but you can't stop eating it, right? There's one with the marshmallow, because the texture is squishy, and then it's in ice cream. You're like, I don't think it's supposed to be here, but then why is it so good? Give me some more.
I feel like it describes a lot of their flavors. It's just this is weird, but I love it at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of my college experience. This is weird, but I love it.
That's awesome. So are there any, aside from, that experience with the, getting to shadow the neuroscientist, which is just or the neurosurgeon, which just sounds really, really cool. And what a guy for just being hey, college student, come hang out with me for a month. Were there any other, life experiences that you had that largely impacted your career choices?
Overall, I've been working for a long time, or just more in the early...
Let's go overall. Yeah. Let's just go for it.
I would say, so college was great. It was super intense. It steered me into pharmacology. And then I guess the next thing was I didn't finish my PhD, first thing out. I was 20 when I started that.
Wow.
And I think it was just too much too soon. So I left with the master's. And you started working, right? At that point, sometimes you're forced into things that you didn't plan for. Because I've always been super, I got to plan everything. I have to control every step of my career, because this is my life. But sometimes just when you do that too much, it kind of backfires on you because you want something so badly and you're not willing to be flexible and adapt. And when you're really young, you don't really know how to do that, right? You don't have the resources. So it kind of like, that's kind of like a fail on my part. Like I wanted to get a PhD. I'm going to get a postdoc in San Diego because that's a really nice town with really good weather. So I mean, just these like harebrained ideas you have when you're 20. And like, so then after that, I kind of just, you know, took my master's and started working. I had a series of jobs. Like I worked QC. I was a QC analyst, which is totally different. And then went back into academia. Actually, my first job, a QC, I was temp. I made $15 an hour as a temp. I'm like, whatever, I need a job while I'm writing, finishing up my master's thesis. And they were going to offer me a job, but their COO, his wife was an Oberlin grad. And he looked at my resume. He's like, you should not be working QC. You need to go back and finish your PhD. Like, you're going to blow the doors off. Like, you should not be here. And then my boss at the time, she's like, what are you doing? We're trying to hire this person. But like that connection, right? Because like, you kind of know. And then I think Fred, that was his name. He's retired now. That kind of like put the idea in my head, like, okay, maybe I should rethink this. Because at the time, I'm like, forget it. The PhD, like, anything can happen. Like, it's just your life is not yours. Like, it's out of your control. And then so he said that. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I guess I'll take this academic job now with UCSF. I guess you don't want me here to do QC. Like, so that's what happened. So I go to UCSF and my pool was Ivan Diamond, and he was chair of neurology at the time. And he was friends and grew up with my PhD advisor at BU, and her son had went to Oberlin. So like there was like all these like background connections where like you start somewhere and then that alum network like really kind of takes you to these places and these people.
Are you grateful to that boss who told you, don't take this job, go back to school? Are you grateful that he kind of meddled in your life that way? Or do you kind of wish that he had butted out a little bit?
I'm super grateful. I tried to write him, but I think he's already retired. I'm like, I found him on LinkedIn, but it says he's, I'm like, Fred, thank you so much. And this was like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. So that put an idea in my head. Oh, well, maybe I should rethink that, you know, like maybe go back to, So what ended up happening is that I worked with my master's because at that time I was kind of disillusioned. I'm like, yeah, I think I make a good scientist, but you know, this process, it can be extremely broken.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think if you've gone through the system, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's kind of a matter of luck, right? Sometimes. And I'm like, well, what, gosh, you know, is that worth my life? I don't know. But having worked as with a master's degree and just, I tried to do everything I could, right? Like I did everything pretty much. I was a lab manager. I taught, you know, evening classes for junior college. Like I was like a lab, you know, kind of like a master level, like, you know, RA or scientist kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't enough. Like you would know if you are not on the path you're supposed to be on, you're just very uncomfortable. Like everything in your body tells you, like, you are not meant to be doing this. There's something more out there for you, or you should be doing something, you know, you're meant to do. So like, then the next, I don't know, 15, 16 years became like, I'm going to get back to where I feel like I should be, you know? So yeah, I guess it's like, you know, early failures, failure early on. You want to fail early, fail hard. and force yourself to think a little harder.
Yeah.
Because when you're older, you can't really afford to, you know, fail as hard as you can when you're younger. But, you know, just that's the only thing.
So would your recommendation then to, you know, early career scientists or, you know, people who are just coming out of college to like take the big moves then to like really just like go for it?
Yeah, absolutely. There are two times in your life that I see you can afford to take those kinds of risks. One is when you're young, before you start a family, you know, like in your 20s, go for it. Like, as long as you don't get yourself killed or like maimed or disabled in some permanent way, like you can come back from it because you're young, you know, the world is your oyster. And then the second time would be like once your kids are grown and you have established yourself enough, and then you have enough basis built up in your life that you can afford to just go and, you know, take those risks because you're not waiting for that next paycheck to like keep the lights on sort yeah. of in that way. So yeah, go for it. Whatever it is you want to do, go for it soon, quick.
Are there any risks that you didn't take early in your career that you wish you had?
Not really. I'm pretty adventurous. Right. But I suppose I should have like maybe met more people, although I don't know. I guess no, I would not change a thing.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to be in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you should look at my schedule and how much crap.
Do you think would it have been better for you, and would you recommend to other people maybe, you know, after you finish college or even high school, taking some time and working a little bit in the real world sort of before pursuing various degrees to kind of get more of a feel for what you like and what makes you happy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would have made a big difference for me. You know, just get a couple of years of real world experience and build some maturity. You can go straight through. That's fine too. If the right lab or the right, you know, opportunity comes up, like, oh, you know, you get to join the lab of, you know, Jennifer Doudna's lab, like go for it. Like, don't turn that down and get like an internship somewhere else. But if you can, you know, get some hands-on experience, and it'll help you later on when you do decide to go back to graduate school too, because you would come in having already been trained in a lot of things.
Yeah. Did you find, because I know for me, my big concern was when I finished college, I thought to myself, you know, if I don't go straight into grad school, if I go out and I get a job, I'm never going to go back to school because it's going to be too hard to transition back into that mindset of being a student. Did you find that that was the case for you, or did you feel like it was pretty easy to kind of transition back into being a student?
I kind of didn't. I think going back full time when you're a little older, because by the time I went back and got my PhD, I was already 32, 31, going on 32. I was married. So if I didn't have sponsorship from my employer, I got to keep my full-time job. I never left my job. I went to school and I was working at the same time. And so if I had to stop my life at that point, like I wouldn't have gone. It would have been very difficult.
Was that a common thing with the company you were working for? I believe it was Sandia National Laboratories is where you were working when you got your PhD. Was that a common practice there for people to kind of go back to school and be sponsored, or was that unusual?
For biosciences, I was the only one and probably will remain the only one because Sandia is an engineering lab. But they do have official programs where they sponsor employees to go back to school, like for engineering. And it's excellent. So I was not at a private for-profit company. I was working for a national lab. And so it's a government contract, like it's a government lab, basically. It's a research nuclear weapons lab. And so there's a system of national labs. And they do, you know, focus quite a bit on education and developing the workforce because they're really training people to become like lifetime employees that serve the country, that serve the nation. Mm-hmm. So many people do go in and you have to apply for it. There's a lot of bureaucracy, like paperwork and stuff, but it is very common. Yes. And it's something they do use as a recruiting tool. I recommend it. Yes.
Was it hard to, you know, how did you balance your full-time job and being a PhD student? Were you able to use some of the work that you were doing in your full-time job as part of your, you know, dissertation, or, you know, how did you balance the two?
I was fortunate enough for like the stars to align, basically. So UC Davis has a program that is designed for corporate employees. So it's like ADP, advanced degree program for corporate employees. So they let you join and you have to do everything the other students do, but you're able to do your dissertation research at your company. So that's what happened. So I had a project at Sandia that actually ended So there would be nobody else to kind of carry that on. It needed a little bit more work. So I was able to leverage my PhD and to kind of continue that project in a way that it was free of, like, you know, all the requirements that an official government project had, right? So we got to, you know, have some fun and build something cool and, like, do something, you know, cutting edge with, you know, these lasers and cells and chips and microfluidics. I would say that would require a lot more planning and quite a bit of personal sacrifice, I would say. Like, you know, just not having time with, you know, my husband so much, and he's very supportive, but it was a strain. So be aware that if you burn the candle on both ends, it will cost you certain, you know, in certain areas of your life.
Yeah, for sure. Once you got your PhD, how did that change your, you know, career opportunities as compared to having a master's degree?
Oh, it completely. I mean, like, because one of the reasons was at Sandia, they had this, like, basically very rigid structure where only people with PhDs in bio can become, like, principal investigators. Mm-hmm. So you're basically in a different class, right? So there was, you know, it was great and it was fun and everything, but there was, like, I couldn't be, like, you know, a big, you know, there was a hard stop to where, right, where you can go. So I was able to just get promoted to, like, junior principal investigator because I was already on roll, right? So I just started writing grants and being a PI and kind of off I went. So yeah. The PhD actually becomes kind of like a ticket. Mm-hmm. There are certain doors where you open with a PhD. You can sort of get in with a master's degree and work your way up, but you will be, quote unquote, working your way up anywhere you go. If there's a system like that there.
So it's like, yeah, the PhD, it's kind of, it almost cuts you to the head of the line in some aspects of that career. Yeah. So how do you personally, you know, define success in your chosen career? You know, did you look at it thinking, you know, when I become the PI of a lab, that's when I will have, like, you know, achieved true success? Or is there any other kind of benchmarks that you look at to tell you that you're on the right track for your career?
Well, first of all, if you're in the right place, like I said, you know it. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think at this point, I don't know, I have two kids and then, like, a family and everything and a job. Like, okay, if I can go home and it's not messy to the point where I can't put my foot anywhere, I just find that as a success. And, like, you know, I think your goals change as you get older. I think it's really important, especially for, you know, women scientists who kind of sort of, like, quote unquote, want it all, is, like, success is just being able to, you know, have it and keep holding on to it. Like, are the kids failing school? They're not failing school. Is my husband willing to kick me out of the house? No, he's not. Like, is everyone mad at me? On my team, they're not. Oh, sweet success. So I think, you know, as I've gotten older, I used to think success was like, oh, I gotta be, like, a director, like, before I'm 30, or, like, I have to, you know, do all these things. Yeah, all that's great. But I think, you know, practically speaking, a success is just having a full life, having friends, having enough time to actually sit down and, you know, have a cup of tea with your friend and still not let any balls drop. That's success to me. You know,
I like that. It's a lot more of, like, an internal metric than an external.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let anyone else tell you what makes you successful. You have to know yourself and you have to know what you want in your life. And everyone else is just everyone else.
That's great advice. I love that. You've mostly worked in industry throughout your career. Did you ever think about working at an academic institution? And if not, then, you know, what either turned you away from academia, or, you know, what interests you about working in that field?
Oh, well, see, most of the time I spent for 11 years was in the national labs. So they're kind of halfway in between academia and industry. I've been in the industry for, what, like, 7 years now? So I would say, you know, maybe, you know, I was working in academia for about 4 years. So yeah, I mean, each one has its pros and cons. I would say if you can get a, you know, national labs appointment and you're good at getting funding, that is the way to go.
Like, yeah, how come?
Because there's a lot more resources than academia. So like, you know, I was able to get like, oh, you know, like the good laser and the good, you know, microscope and the good cameras. And for, you know, you can do a lot of cool things, but you're not bound to like the, you know, private industry, like constraints, like you have to make a product. Like you can still be creative, but it's applied sciences. So that would be great. Academia, I think it's unregulated, right? It's like the students don't really have that much say. Yeah. And then the funding situation is just ridiculous. Like we as a nation need to be funding basic research. Like people should not be, you know, killing themselves trying to get the grants. You know, they should just have money to do important work, and it should not be so political. Until that's fixed, I think it's going to be hard to attract and retain as many talent as we should in academia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm curious, you know, kind of backing up a little bit back to, if you can think, remember, you know, back when you were in college and in grad school, you know, trying to deciding on your career trajectories. Because I know for me, you know, as you said, most people in academia have only ever experienced academia. So I had an experience where all of my mentors and all of my advisors were trying to push me into academia because that's all they knew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had my PI when I was doing my PhD, I asked him about alternative career paths. And he said, well, I don't know anything about those because I'm in academia, so I can't really help you with anything outside of academia. So, you know, for you, did you have somebody in your life who kind of guided you towards those alternative paths, or did you just kind of like stumble across them on your own?
Oh, I just stumbled. I mean, it was just, I failed my way into like success, which I don't think is necessary. I think, you know, things are different now because I know for like, for the UC system, like they really make it a point to have like industry internships. UC Davis, especially, I have nothing but great things to say about UC Davis. Just the difference between the two PhD programs is like night and day. And like, so they had, you know, there's the ADP program, and they also have like an internship program where you can go to a local biotech company and do like a 3 to 6 month long, like, you know, internship to see if you like that. So there are more opportunities now. And I would say, like, if you're a student and you want to find alternative, you know, career paths, you just have to bring it upon yourself to seek out those opportunities. Your PI may or may not be supportive of that because they're like, well, why you need to know? You just work in a lab and write my paper. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but it is at the end of the day, your career. And you should use everything in your disposal to achieve that. And I would just social media, going to conferences, talk to your friends, you know, network.
You know, since you had, you know, early in your life, you know, you had one career path in mind and you kind of had family and societal pressures pushing you in a different direction. Do you have any advice that you would give to the younger generations who might be kind of facing those similar pressures where they, you know, maybe they want to go one direction with their career and their parents or, you know, what have other influences telling them that they should take their life in a different direction? How would you tell them to, you know, how should they balance their passions and all of these other expectations when choosing a career?
Well, in that respect, I'm pretty old school because I have kids myself and I'm thinking about like, well, what if they want to be like, my son wants to be, kind of, what does he want to be? I don't know. It changes like every week, like a pilot or I don't know. He wants to sit home and play games. Like, could you just make sure you build enough foundation that you can do whatever you want later on? So like, don't waste your undergraduate or high school years on like frivolous things. Like spend that time to like really study your math, your science, you know, your language arts. You need good writing skills. excellent communication skills. Those are critical later on. Build that foundation. And once you have that, you can start thinking about, are there things that, I want to explore? But I would say, listen to your parents. Why do they want you to do this? They have a reason. If they tell you, okay, you should be a dentist, why? I look back 20 years later after I heard that, we had a friend whose dad was obsessed with him becoming a dentist, whether he wanted to or not. And 20 years later, I look back, I'm like, dude, that is totally the right thing to do. Do you know how much money they make? They hardly work. So listen to them. They have years of experience. It may not be right for you, but they have a reason for saying it. I think for young people, the one thing I would say is listen and then make up your mind. Is this the right thing for you? Yeah.
I like that. And it's also sort of interrogating, what is the reason for this? And then, and then maybe make your decisions based off of the reasons. We may have already kind of touched on this a little bit, but I just wanted to see if you had any more thoughts on the subject of, for a student, who's making their decisions and they're going to graduate school and they're trying to decide, should I stop at my bachelor's degree? Should I stop at a master's? Should I stop at a PhD? At what level of education do I need? Do you have any advice you would give them when they're kind of trying to make that decision of, how far in their education should they take it?
I think that is a case-to-case, should be decided case-to-case basis, right? So for me, it would have been great if I had just gone all the way through, because as I found out later on, I'm really not okay with having just a master's. But for other people, had I not been working at Sandia, had I been at a private company, I probably would have left science and gone into marketing or something like that, where a master's degree in science would have been more than enough. And I would have gone to school to get an MBA or something. So it really depends. It would really depend on what is your situation? If you're in a PhD program, what is your situation there? Do you see a clear path to your degree? Are you being, well looked after by your PI? Do you have support? Is the funding stable in that lab? That's an issue. If your lab loses funding halfway through your degree, you don't really have too much choice in it, which is what happened to me. So it really depends. Ideally, you would just go ahead and get your PhD and everything works out great. You learn a ton of things, and then you would, get some, internships and make some connections, and then you have your alum network through your graduate school, and then you land a really, prestigious job somewhere. But if that's not the case, then be flexible and start talking to people, start learning, start looking at other options.
Yeah. I like that. I feel like one of the biggest takeaways that at least I'm getting from your life journey is just the idea of, being flexible and don't get too set on one particular idea of what your life, your career should be. It's, do what feels right, even if it's not what you thought was going to be the path when you started out.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you force it, you can, but be ready to take 20 years. I want my life back. I'm going everywhere. I don't care where it kills me. So, you can do that. And I feel like I have gotten to that point. But that's just me, right? That's that's not everybody. There's any number of paths I could have taken or anyone else could take, and then you would still land in a happy place. You just have to determine, like you said, going back to your question, what do you define as success? What is going to make you happy?
Great advice. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, May. That was really, really great conversation and some really excellent advice. We look forward to seeing you at our future events and also to finding out where your research and your career goes.
Great. Thanks for having me.